But what I want to speak about today are the high places. So the high places. Now, when I say the high places, you may have an understanding of that from the Bible, but I believe there are some high places today where idolatry is being committed. And I'm going to relate the high places of the Old Testament to maybe what our high places are today and where our idolatry is today. But let's begin back in the Old Testament in Numbers chapter 33 and verse 52. Let's find out what we mean by the high places so we understand this very well before we draw these conclusions as to how this might relate to what's happening today. In Numbers chapter 33 and verse 52, I'd like to turn there first. Numbers 33 and verse 52, here's what it says. Drive out all the inhabitants of the land before you. Destroy all their carved images and their cast idols, and demolish all their high places. So as Israel goes into the land of the Canaanites, God tells them to destroy all these high places of the Canaanites. Now, why? Why? Well, let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 2. And understand a little bit more about the high places before we find out why God had a problem with these high places. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 2, we read the following. Look up to the barren heights and see, is there any place where you have not been ravished? By the roadside you sat waiting for lovers. Sat like a nomad in the desert. You have defiled the land with your prostitution and wickedness. Now, the barren heights here is just another word for the high places. And what occurred there was false pagan worship. The Canaanites worshiped their false gods on these high places, these outcrops along mountains and hills, where they had groves and things of that nature, and they worshiped their false gods. So why is God so angry? Well, Hosea will tell us a little bit more so we can understand this a little bit better. So let's turn over to the book of Hosea, and we're going to begin to build our understanding of these high places. In Hosea chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, notice why God is so angry about these high places. Hosea 4:11, to prostitution, to old wine and new, which take away the understanding of my people. They consult a wooden idol and are answered by a stick of wood. A spirit of prostitution leads them away. Now, what does he mean by prostitution here? Well, you know, if you're married and you go with a prostitute, you understand what I'm talking about here. You're supposed to stay with your wife. You're supposed to stay with that woman you made a covenant with. When you go with the prostitute, you're breaking that covenant. He's talking about the nation of Israel here. Israel as a nation is prostituting themselves with false worship, worshiping these other gods that the Canaanites around them were worshiping. They are unfaithful to their God. Verse 13, they sacrifice on the mountaintops and burn offerings on the hills. Under oak, poplar, and terebinth, where the shade is pleasant. Therefore, your daughters turn to prostitution and your daughters-in-law to adultery. I will not punish your daughters when they turn to prostitution, nor your daughters-in-law when they commit adultery, because the men themselves consort with harlots and sacrifice with shrine prostitutes. A people without understanding will come to ruin. A people without understanding will come to ruin. Our country doesn't have understanding today, and it will come to ruin if we don't repent of our present day idolatry, which is linked to this Old Testament idolatry. And I'll explain why as I progress in my discussion. Now, notice this. There is some confusion around the high places because God has just told us, destroy the high places. Don't worship on the high places. Now, here's the confusion. I'm going to switch gears on you. Stay with me, though. Stay with me. Listen. Go back to the book of Numbers now. We're going to switch gears on you a little bit in regard to the high places, but it's going to help us understand the totality of the idolatry that's going on today. Now, notice Numbers 23 and verse 3. Numbers 23 and verse 3. Then Balaam said to Balak, stay here beside your offering while I go aside. Perhaps the Lord will come to meet with me. Whatever he reveals to me, I will tell you. Then he went off to a barren height. Wait a minute. This is a prophet of God. This man is coming to him, asking him what God's going to do about a certain situation. And this man is saying, let me go off to a high place so I can commune with God. There seems to be some problem here. But don't worry, we're going to resolve the problem. We're going to resolve the problem. Notice in Numbers 22, we're going back one chapter, and verse 8. Numbers 22, verse 8. Spend the night here, Balaam said to them, and I will bring you back the answer the Lord gives me. So the Moabite princes stayed with him. God came to Balaam and asked, who are these men with you? Balaam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent me this message. A people that has come out of Egypt covers the face of the land. Now come and put a curse on them for me. Perhaps then I will be able to fight them and drive them away. But God said to Balaam, do not go with them. You must not put a curse on those people because they are blessed. Balaam is a prophet of God. God is working with Balaam and giving him the word of God. Yet we read a little bit earlier in chapter 23 that Balaam is going to go to a high place to consult God. What's going on here? Well, let's look at 1 Kings, and we're going to try to understand this. I thought the high places were bad. What's the problem here with the high places? Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 14. Why are some high places bad? 1 Kings chapter 14. And verse 23, 1 Kings 14, 23. They also set up for themselves high places, sacred stones, and Asherah poles on every high hill and under every spreading tree. Now, what are Asherah poles? They are the phallic symbol, the sexual symbol of the male. What are these groves? What are these, as they're mentioned here, sacred stones and things of that shape? They are symbols of the female sexual symbol. And that's what these pagans worship. That's what these Israelites began to worship. The sexual symbols of sex, because their gods were related to that. That's why they had prostitutes at these shrines, because it was about the sex, that was a god to them. That became an idol to them, along with the false gods that they were also worshiping. But we know God uses sex in a specific way. You get married to a husband or wife, and that's it. You don't go having sex with anybody willy-nilly. But that's what was going on in this false worship, this prostituting worship that they got involved in. That's why these high places were a problem to God, because they were obfuscating God's truth and what God was trying to do with sexuality and worship of God. Now, let's look at another scripture over in 2 Kings 23. 2 Kings 23. There's a lot of information about the high places in your Bible, and we need to understand this totally. 2 Kings 23, and I'm not going to read all of this, but it goes from verse 7 to verse 20 in 2 Kings chapter 23, verses 7 through 20. And what we read here, when you have a chance to read it, Josiah, the righteous king, goes on a rampage, and he tears down the high places. He destroys the high places within the God's nation, and he's doing what God wanted done, okay? He was a righteous king, and he tore down these high places. But notice verse 13 in this section of scripture, 2 Kings 23. I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. It says this: the king also desecrated the high places that were east of Jerusalem on the south of the hill of corruption, the one Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the Baal goddess of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the Baal god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the people of Ammon. Josiah smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles and covered the sites with human bones. Now, this god mentioned here, Molech. Molech was a god that they sacrificed their children to. I just wrote an article on the homepage, the CGI homepage yesterday, it went up, about abortion and how abortion today is modern day child sacrifice. Satan uses sophistication. Satan uses different tools with different peoples at different times. In olden times, he used straight up child sacrifice, because peoples back then believed there were other gods besides Yahweh. They believed these other gods had power, and Satan corrupted their mind to believe that they should sacrifice their children. What came from sex, remember? What came from sex, the child, is sacrificed to this false god of sex. You get the connection there. What are we doing today? With our idolatry today, it's about me. It's about my feelings. It's about what the movie industry is telling you, what the stars are telling you, what the music is telling you. Get some. Go get some. Everybody else is getting some, so you got to get some. And what are young people doing today? Having premarital sex, having children out of wedlock, destroying what the family's supposed to be. That's a big deal to God. That's modern day idolatry. We're not sacrificing kids when they come out of the womb. We're sacrificing them before they're born because we're more sophisticated now. Satan has corrupted the mind to make child sacrifice allowable within our minds. He does it through his sophistication. It's not a baby. It's not a baby if it's inside of you. It's only a baby when it comes outside of you. But God says he knows us in the womb in Jeremiah. He knows us in the womb. It is a baby. So that's some of the modern day idolatry that is mimicking the old idolatry because Satan is wily. He's crafty. He knows how to do his thing regardless of how sophisticated or smart we think we are. Now, let me continue with high places. Solomon built these shrines because what happened to Solomon? He got mixed up with too many women, and he began to do whatever those women wanted him to do. And therefore, he built these shrines to these false gods, and Josiah tore it down. Now, notice this in 1 Samuel. Chapter 9 and verse 6, 1 Samuel, chapter 9 and verse 6. We got to understand this subject because the old times are just like today's times. You just got to sift through things and see it. 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. But the servant replied, look, in this town, there's a man of God. He's highly respected, and everything he says comes true. Let's go there now. Perhaps he will tell us what way to take. So there's a man of God here. Notice verse 11 and 12. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 11. As they were going up the hill to the town, they met some girls coming out to draw water, and they asked them, is the seer here? He is, they answered. He's ahead of you. Hurry now. He has just come to our town today, for the people have a sacrifice at the high place. The people have a sacrifice at the high place. This guy's a man of God. There's going to be a sacrifice at the high place. Is it okay to have a sacrifice at the high place? Yeah, it is. If it's to Yahweh, if it's Yahweh's worship, it's okay. But if it's Molech's worship, it's not okay. You guys understand this? Now notice what happens here. 1 Chronicles 16 and 39. 1 Chronicles 16 and 39. 1 Chronicles 16 39. David left Zadok the priest and his fellow priests before the tabernacle of the Lord at the high place in Gibeon. God's tabernacle was at a high place in Gibeon. It's okay, folks. It's okay. Because God is being worshiped at the high place here. Now turn with me over to 1 Chronicles 21 and 29. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 29. Notice what it says. The tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the desert, and the altar of burnt offering were at that time on the high place at Gibeon. They were on the high place at Gibeon. No problem there. We had Samuel going to do a sacrifice at a high place. Balaam goes to consult God at a high place. But God had problems with the Canaanites' high places. Why? Because they were worshiping other gods there, false gods. So it's not the high place. Notice what God himself says in Exodus. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 24. Exodus 20 and verse 24. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, lest your nakedness be exposed on it. Now, the talking about these dressed stones, the God has an issue with dressed stones, right? He doesn't tell us why, though, does he? God has an issue with certain haircuts in the Old Testament, right? God has an issue with shavings. God has an issue with tattoos. Was that all random? No, it wasn't random. The shavings, the cuttings, the tattoos, the dressed stones, the Canaanites worshiped their gods by cutting their body, by putting things in their body, by putting tattoos on their body, by doing things to their stones and their poles, making them into sexual symbols. That is what God was upset about. God doesn't have a problem with the stone. God created stones, okay? God created wood and trees, okay? But it's what you do with it. That's what God has the problem with. So when you begin to worship him in the same way they worship these other gods, then he's got a problem with it. Now, let's continue. We're starting to build our understanding here. We got to build all the understanding. Don't just look at a few scriptures. You got to look at them all on the subject. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Notice what we read here. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. I'm building the anticipation because my pages are very thin. Okay. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 3. Remember what I said about Solomon earlier, where Josiah tore down Solomon's high places to those false gods. 2 Chronicles 1, verse 3. Notice what it says. And Solomon and the whole assembly went to the high place at Gibeon, for God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the Lord's servant, had made in the desert. Now drop down to verse 13 of the same chapter. Then Solomon went to Jerusalem from the high place at Gibeon, from before the tent of meeting, and he reigned over Israel. This is before Solomon got mixed up with all those women from other countries who had other gods. And Solomon is worshiping God in the right place, in the right way. He's going to this high place like his father David did. Okay? But Solomon got corrupted, just like our country has got corrupted. The most Christian country in the world is now corrupted, folks, and it's on a downward slide. Let's continue in our study. I wanted to set all that up. Let's go to 1 Kings 11 now. 1 Kings 11, as we continue to study the high places. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings 11 and verse 7. 1 Kings 11 and verse 7. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the detestable god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. He did the same for all his foreign wives. You know how many wives he had, folks? Hundreds, who burned incense and offered sacrifices to their gods. That's why Josiah tore it down. Solomon got corrupted. He had the wisdom of God. It was given to him. Yet he became corrupted by mixing with the false religion. Let that be a lesson to us. But here's a bigger question. Don't forget, Jerusalem sits on a hill. Jerusalem sits on a hill. And where was the temple of God? You can go there today to the old city of Jerusalem within greater Jerusalem, and it sits on a hill. God's temple was put on a hill, and God was worshiped in that temple on a hill, on a high place. God allowed his temple to be on a high place. Now, wait a minute. Are you seeing some pattern here? Are you starting to see this is a clue for where I'm going. Don't let them take away the high place from God. God is the Most High. But isn't it interesting that the false gods try to mimic who the Most High is by putting themselves in high places? Is that a coincidence, or is there something behind it? Let's continue our study. Let's continue our study. 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 31. Because of Solomon's corruption, what happened? 1 Kings 12, verse 31. Here's what happened, folks. 1 Kings 12, 31. Jeroboam built shrines on high places and appointed priests from all sorts of people. Wait a minute. What's going on here? The kingdom has been destroyed. Judah has become the southern kingdom with Benjamin and Levi. The northern kingdom is the other 10 tribes of Israel. Jeroboam is leading them. And what is Jeroboam doing now? Look what it says. Look what Jeroboam is doing. On high places, he appointed priests from all sorts of people. What did God's law say? Who were the priests supposed to come from? From the tribe of Levi. But Jeroboam says, no, I'm going to do it my way. He knows who Yahweh is, but he let it go because the leaders, Solomon was the leader who got corrupted. And now once the leadership is corrupted, the whole nation gets corrupted. from all sorts of people, even though they were not Levites. He instituted a festival on the 15th day of the eighth month, like the festival held in Judah, and offered sacrifices on the altar, like the festival in Judah. What festival? God's holy day festivals, like tabernacles. He created his own tabernacle festival on a different month, on a different day. Just like, what are we doing today with Christmas? We insert Christ into Christmas. Now, I know in Japan, they don't worship Christ. I know that. And they still celebrate Christmas. I know that in some countries, they don't worship Christ, yet they still celebrate Christmas. But those who believe in Christ, those who believe in Christ, have mixed his worship with the pagan symbols. And God says that's a no-no. No, 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 no. You can worship me the way I say to worship me. But when we mix his worship, that is the key. When we're worshiping God and we mix his worship and we don't follow his word on his worship, that's where the problem comes. Now, we know what happened soon after this with the northern tribes and the southern tribes. They were destroyed. They were obliterated by the Babylonians and the Assyrians. They finally got what was coming to them because they let go of their God. But watch this. Watch this. Verse 26. Verse 26 of this same chapter. 1 Kings 12, dropping back to verse 26. Jeroboam thought to himself, the kingdom will now likely revert to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifices at the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, they will again give their allegiance to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. They will kill me and return to Rehoboam. Why was Jeroboam doing this? Because he wanted the power. He wanted to be in charge. He wanted to be in the high place. You get what I'm saying? This political leader let it go to his head. He wanted to be in the high place. The leader of the 10 tribes. He was afraid they'd go back to Jerusalem and go back to Rehoboam because they wanted to worship God. So he said, I'll create a new form of worship. No, no, no. Once you start corruption, it leads to further corruption. Now, Let's turn back to Exodus again. Let's go back to Exodus 19. Let's talk a little bit about deception for a moment. Okay? Deception is deception because there's some elements of truth to it. You hear what I'm saying? How do you deceive somebody? When you deceive somebody, you're trying to obfuscate. You're trying to hide. You're trying to trick. You're not going to be straight out with it. Think about abortion today. Okay? We live in the scientific world today. Okay? People know you shouldn't kill a baby. That's terrible. That's terrible to kill a baby. That's terrible. No one wants to kill a baby today. Satan knows that too. Okay? So what does Satan do? Well, when it's inside a woman and a woman wants control of her body and people are losing the knowledge of the Bible, I know how I can get humanity to kill little God babies? Because what are those babies, folks? What does Genesis 1:26 tell you? We're made in the image of Yahweh. We're made in his likeness. He's creating a family of beings. And who wants to destroy that? I'm going to get to that in a minute. But turn back with me to Exodus 19 and verse 2. Exodus 19 and verse 2. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Oh, wait a minute. This is before they get into the land of Canaan, okay? They haven't gotten into the land of Canaan yet, okay? Hear what I'm saying here. Where are they camping? In front of a mountain. Why are they camping in front of a mountain? Here's why. Let's read it. Verse 3. Then Moses went up to God. Let me repeat it for emphasis. Moses went up to God. And the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. Don't let paganism take the high place away from our God. You hear what I'm saying? Don't let the Christian holidays today take away God's holy days. You hear what I'm saying? They went up to God. God was on the mountain because God is, what's his name? What's one of his names? The Most High. The Most High. Okay? Now, is that a coincidence? No, that's not a coincidence. Think about all the pagan peoples. Think about the ancient Greeks. I've got Greek ancestry. I've been to Athens, Greece, and I see the Acropolis, the ancient pagan place of worship in Athens. You know where it is, folks? It's up on a hill overlooking the city of Athens. The Acropolis is up on a hill where the pagan Greeks went to worship their gods. You've heard of Mount Olympus, right? Mount Olympus in the Greek mythology, that's where the gods were, right? It's up on Mount Olympus, okay? Mount Fuji in Japan. It's the holy mountain of the Shinto religion because they believe the emperor came down from the mountain. The ancient Babylonians created ziggurats. What were ziggurats? They were these giant platforms that they went up to worship their pagan gods on. Now, let me scare you a little bit here. I'm going to make a couple statements here, and I want you to think about everything I've said so far. In our modern world today, we don't believe in these pagan gods, right? We don't have these idols that the ancient people had, right? But you know, some of those people who went here in D.C. down to the Capitol on January 6th, you know that the Capitol sits on what is called Capitol Hill? Do you know that Mount Rushmore, let me repeat that, Mount Rushmore has the faces of four of our most important presidents? Do you know when you go down to D.C. to the Lincoln Memorial, you got to walk up one set of steps, then you walk up another set of steps, Then you go up another set of steps, and there before you, up above you, is Abraham Lincoln looking down on you as if he is a god. Now, people will say, Mike, come on. Come on, Mike. That's just showing respect to our presidents. We have a phallic symbol for Washington. We call it Washington's Monument. But Mike, we don't worship a phallic symbol. Even though Washington was the father of our country. Now, I know that we don't think today how the ancient pagans thought. I know that. But I'm showing you the sophistication of Satan the devil, that he has our presidents on a mountain. He has the place where we write our laws on a hill. He has one of probably the most important president in U.S. history, Lincoln, up above you on his memorial. Because why? Because as we get more corrupted in this country and we lose sight of the true God, many of our people are putting their faith in corrupt leaders. And I don't care if it's leaders on the left or leaders on the right, they are corrupt. They've lost who the true God is. They have a form of godliness. They can show you a Bible in their hand, or they can go to church on Sunday and the cameras are there, but they don't know the God of this Bible. And many of our people are beginning to look at them as modern day gods or idols. That's why you saw all that violence on January 6th. That's why you saw all that violence in Seattle and in Portland this summer. Both on the left and the right, folks. Okay, I'm going to call it straight. Okay, they're both crazy. Because they don't know who God is. And if they knew who God was, they wouldn't be committing that violence and following these false leaders. There's only one leader for me. That's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, as I start to wind down, I want to bring this all together, and I want you to turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples." The mountain of the Lord. Now turn with me to Isaiah 8. Isaiah chapter 8. And notice this in Isaiah 8, verse 18. Isaiah 8, verse 18. "Here am I, and the children the Lord has given me. We are signs and symbols in Israel from the Lord Almighty, who dwells on Mount Zion." Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2 and verse 1. Joel 2 and verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy hill. On my holy hill. Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is close at hand. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. Micah chapter 4 and verse 1. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and people will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Psalm 18. Psalm 18 and verse 13. Psalm 18 and verse 13. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. The voice of who? The voice of who? The Most High. Let me repeat it. The Most High. Let me repeat it again. The Most High. That is who I worship. Psalm 87 and verse 5. Psalm 87 and verse 5. Indeed, of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her, and the Most High himself will establish her. Folks, I told you, don't let paganism take away the high places from God. Don't let false worship obfuscate God's holy days. And ladies and gentlemen, don't let Satan take the worship of the true God either. What do I mean by that? Who's behind all this corruption? Who's infected the minds of man and then has led men and women to follow after these various men and women who lead us today? Notice Isaiah 14. Let's go to the root, folks. Let's go to the root of the high place controversy now. Let's bring it all together now. Okay? It was right there in Eden at the beginning, folks. We started making decisions wrong back in Eden because there was influence in Eden. God was there, and there was another influence. Just like God is here today, if you want him, but there's another influence too. Just like in Old Testament times, when Israel came out of Egypt, God was with them, but there was another influence there too. Hasn't changed, folks. It's been the same story throughout human history. But don't let him fool you. Don't let him deceive you. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you have fallen. Folks, if you're falling, you have to be up somewhere, okay? If you're fallen, you had to be up somewhere. How you have fallen from heaven. O morning star, son of the dawn, you've been cast down to the earth. You who once laid low the nations, you said in your heart, there's the key, folks. What did Jeroboam say in his heart? I got to be the leader. What did Solomon say in his heart? I got to do what my women want me to do. Okay. What did Eve say in her heart? It looks like good food. What did Adam say in his heart? Well, if Eve ate it, maybe I could eat it. Okay. What did Satan say in his heart? You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. I will ascend above the tops of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. Oh, he's good, folks. He's good at what he's doing. He's been trying to do it before mankind was ever around. And he will not quit. He will not stop. You've got to stop him right here. You have the ability to stop him through the power of God's Holy Spirit in your mind. Because he wanted to be the Most High, and he has corrupted this world through its isms, through its politics, through its leaders, through its religions. He's corrupted it completely in so many different ways because he is crafty. He is a deceiver, and he's deceived the whole world in Revelation 12:9. In Ezekiel chapter 28, Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 14, you were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. Filled with violence and he sinned. What did those people do at the Capitol on January 6th? Beaten police officers. People died. Planting pipe bombs that did not explode. What did those people do in Portland and Seattle this summer? Attacking police officers, attacking citizens, starting fires, violence. Who's it coming from? It's not hard, folks. It's not hard to figure this out, but the world doesn't know. We're so lucky to know this truth, and we have to get this truth to the world or die trying. Mark chapter 5, verse 7, as I start to wind this down, I want to bring it all together in a nice little package for you. Mark chapter 5 and verse 7 says this: he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." They know who the Most High is. They know the story. They know the scriptures better than we do. That's how they can screw this world up so good. But even the demon knew who Jesus was, the Son of the Most High. You see how it's a problem for Satan? He knows he's lost, but he's going to go down kicking and screaming. Back to 2 Chronicles. We started in the Old Testament. I want to go back there to conclude. 2 Chronicles 11 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles 11. and verse 15. Who were these ancient gods, Chemosh and Molech, that the pagans were worshiping? 2 Chronicles 11 and verse 15. 2 Chronicles 11, 15. And he appointed his own priests for the high places and for the goat and calf idols he had made. Wait a minute. The goat and the calf idols he had made. Do you know some of these ancient gods had faces like animals? Why is that? Is there a connection to Satan? Is there a connection to Satan in these symbols of the ancient pagan gods? The Egyptians worshiped the dung beetle. The dung beetle, okay? They worshiped cats and other animals. Why is that? Who were these animals symbolizing? The goat, isn't that an interesting phrase? The goat. What does the strong man on the Day of Atonement take into the wilderness? He takes a goat. And what is the symbol of that goat in our understanding? That it's a symbol of Satan. Is that just coincidence? Maybe not. Maybe not. Leviticus 17 and verse 7. Leviticus 17 and verse 7. Two more scriptures to conclude. Leviticus 17 and verse 7. They must no longer offer any of their sacrifices to the goat idols to whom they prostitute themselves. This is to be a lasting ordinance for them and for the generations to come. Remember the anger God had with those high places. Josiah tore it down. He burned bones on it. God did not like it. Why was God so angry? Folks, last scripture, or second to last, I'm sorry, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the middle of the air. Ezekiel saw the wheel way in the middle of the air. Now, I'm not singing as well as the other folks have sung today, but I remember that song. Ezekiel saw the wheel way up in the air. Now, it was holding the throne of God, right? It was carrying God. But notice something about what was carrying God. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 7. Here's what was carrying God. These living creatures. These cherubs. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse 7. Their legs were straight. Their feet were like those of a calf, and gleamed like burnished bronze. Under their wings, on their four sides, they had the hands of a man. All four of them had faces and wings, and their wings touched one another. Each one went straight ahead. They did not turn as they moved. Their faces looked like this. Each of the four had the face of a man. And on the right side, each had the face of a lion. And on the left, the face of an ox. Each also had the face of an eagle. What's my point? These are beings that are carrying God, and Ezekiel sees them. These are angelic beings of some sort. And what was Satan? We believe he was an angelic being. These beings have the faces and body parts of not only men, but also animals. And what were the ancient pagans worshiping? They were worshiping half gods, half men, animal figures. Folks, Do you see the connection I am making here? Do you see the connection back to the old high places and the false gods? I believe they are demons. They are Satan that the ancients were worshiping. And what are we doing today in our sophisticated scientific countries today? Oh, we're not worshiping those old gods. No, we got our own gods. We got our new gods in our political leaders, whether it's on the left or the right, or our political parties that people think are going to bring us a utopia. They are not. No ism, nothing that man has created is going to bring about a utopia in this world. Only Jesus Christ's second coming will bring about a utopia in this world. And I'll conclude with this. In Micah chapter 1, look at this warning for our nation of the United States. Micah chapter 1, the word of the Lord that came to Micah of Moresheth during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. The vision he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. What were Samaria and Jerusalem? They were the capitals of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Okay, remember that. The capital cities. And what does he say? What is the prophecy? Verse 2, hear, O peoples, all of you. And I say this to the United States. I say this to the United Kingdom. I say this to any country that says they're trying to worship the true God. Verse 2, hear, O peoples, all of you. Listen, O earth. Listen, Canada, and all you who are in it, that the sovereign Lord may witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple, up on a hill. Look, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. He comes down and treads the high places of the earth. The mountains melt beneath him, and the valleys split apart like wax before the fire, like water rushing down a slope. All this is because of Jacob's transgression, because of the sins of the house of Israel. What is Jacob's transgression? Is it not Samaria? What is Judah's high place? Is it not Jerusalem? In other words, your leadership centers, Judah and Israel, are your high places. You have worshiped your leadership, Solomon, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and they have led you astray. And now I'm bringing the hammer down. Verse 6, therefore I will make Samaria a heap of rubble, a place for planting vineyards. I will pour her stones into the valley and lay bare her foundations. All her idols will be broken to pieces. All her temple gifts will be burned with fire. I will destroy all her images, since she gathered her gifts from the wages of prostitutes. As the wages of prostitutes, they will again be used. Ladies and gentlemen, God brought the hammer down on ancient Israel and ancient Judah because their leaders led them astray into false worship, polluted worship, prostituted worship. Ladies and gentlemen, today, the United States is the most Christian country in the world. in name only. We have corrupted the worship of God. We have left the true God. And if we don't wake up and repent, then what happened to Israel and Judah will happen to the United States of America. Wake up, America.